Hot 1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Supply chain disruptions which emerged as a result of COVID-19 lockdowns in 2020 and were then joined by rising inflation towards the end of last year have certainly intensified in the first part of this year, obviously with the war in Ukraine as well as the COVID-19 shutdown in Shanghai, which is the world's factory. It looks as if disruptions just might worsen. So what do you do if you're operating in any of these sectors that are going to be impacted by supply chain issues? Well, Tyron Tiersen is a partner at Weber Wenzel, and Tyron joins us now. Tyron, if you look at it, the current logistical bottlenecks that we're seeing present obviously very high risks for contractors if you're completing a capital project, if you're a miner or if you're in any other industry. Just how high is this risk at the moment, and what are the key drivers that you are seeing?
Thanks, Michael. I mean, Michael, this is a real risk. It's happening to projects as we speak. There are those that are suffering immense delays from current restrictions in the supply chain, and there are those which may well in the future be suffering from a similar affliction. So I think if we parceled it out between two main categories, we have those where contractors and OEMs have already committed to delivering goods within a certain spec and on a particular date, and we have those that are forward-looking who want to continue to service the South Africa and the broader continent market, but are worried that they won't be able to do so if these backlogs continue.
And that is the big concern. Obviously, these delays and the heightened costs are causing contractors and OEMs to look at ways that they can mitigate or manage their risks and obviously disclaim responsibility for time and cost overruns on large capital projects. What sort of strategies are being and can be employed here?
Yeah, sure. So if we parcel them into their two categories again, Michael, those who've already entered into contracts are stuck with the terms on which they contracted under. Most of our sophisticated procurement contracts do contain some form of regime to manage your force majeure or supervening impossibility type risk. So for those contractors and OEMs who have already committed on their terms, they would need to seek advice on whether or not the events that they are currently suffering from would meet the criteria set out in their agreements. Probably more problematic are for those that are entering into contracts in this kind of uncertain new world. There, although their contracts may contemplate some form of relief for unforeseeable risks or for those that a reasonable contingency ought not to have been made up front, those contractors would need to now understand further, unpacking their risk, whether what they know today is sufficient to meet that test in the future, i.e. could a contractor still escape liability where a COVID-related delay risk materializes on a project that it signs up for today, which occurs in a couple of months' time. Some contractors are living with that risk and they believe that they have made adequate provision in their contracts. Others are being more risk-averse and are saying, in fact, to their clients, this is a risk that neither of us can control, and whether or not one applies that loose test for force majeure, it is our preference that we allocate this risk quite strongly and forcefully to you as the client. And if the current restrictions continue, then you will bear that risk going forward.
If one wanted to go about renegotiating a contract, I mean, how does one go about establishing a revision or inserting additional clauses into a really agreed upon contract?
Yeah, so Michael, the majority of your sophisticated commercial contracts would contain no amendment clauses that would require the parties to reach consensus before any amendment could be given effect to.
Right.
We have seen certain OEMs and contractors come to our big procuring clients and say to them, realistically, this is the new world we're living in, and we would appreciate it if we could revise some of these terms to make them more fit for purpose. But that would require a pragmatic conversation between those parties and would turn on their kind of established relationships.
Yeah, that clearly does turn on relationships going into the future. And so whether or not you believe those key clients or suppliers are willing to come to the table and negotiate any amendments or amendments of terms. Now, you mentioned force majeure and what really turns around force majeure. We've seen something of force majeure in the Transnet coal line, Farago, with many of the coal mining companies complaining that you know, Transnet can't turn around now and declare force majeure when it was foreseeable that with the lack of maintenance and the levels of corruption that we saw, that this was going to happen. So just on the broad issue of force majeure, when can a contracted party actually declare force majeure?
Sure, Michael. So we don't have an independent notion under our law of force majeure, as that term is understood in commercial contracts. We have a common law right to seek relief for supervening impossibility. So one has common law relief, but most, again, sophisticated commercial parties aren't happy with that test. A, it requires objective impossibility, and B, the relief is generally not acceptable. It's really a cancellation of the contract and a restoration of the party's position. So what we tend to find is parties agree in terms of their contract, their own unique force majeure, or if you're in the NEC world, prevention type provisions. So what parties would need to do is unpack whether or not the event that has affected their contract in fact meets the definition contained within their particular agreement. And there are various ways in which force majeure clauses are worded, but the vast majority of them in our market tend to be an open test requiring the party to show that the event was not reasonably foreseeable and that having occurred, it cannot reasonably be overcome.
Thank you very much, Tyrone Tearson, a partner at Weber Wenzel with supply chain risks, and obviously the need now to build that and to factor that into your contracts if you do feel that you are largely exposed, because this does seem to be the new normal for the foreseeable future. You're listening to Hot Business.
Hot 1027 Business with Michael Avery.